This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And Jesus said to them, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever have one of those mornings when that dreaded alarm goes off and you just don't feel like getting up? Maybe it's cold outside and it feels so good to be snuggled down into those warm covers. Or maybe you've tossed and turned the night before, and you only just now started to get some rest. I don't know about you, but sometimes I felt like it's worth taking the risk, and knowing that if I skip coffee, maybe rush my shower a little bit, I can catch a few extra minutes of sleep. So I just roll over and hit the snooze button on the alarm. And then, maybe then, you can grab 15 more minutes of blessed slumber. Then there are those times when you absolutely know that hitting the snooze button just isn't even an option, because the boss has called you in for an early morning meeting. Or there's just some place you know that you have to get to early on. So even if you set the alarm a little earlier, you know that when it goes off, hitting that snooze button just isn't an option. You got to get up and start moving around. Because haven't we all had this happen to us at least once? We hit that snooze button, hoping for just a few more minutes of sleep, but the next thing you know, it's an hour later. And you wake up in a panic. And you just know that there's no way you're going to get to where you need to be on time. You have missed whatever it is you're supposed to be waking up for. When that's happened to me, I know the first thing I do is start thinking of the excuses I can give as to why I'm late. Or at the very least, how to start apologizing. In our gospel lesson today, St. Mark tells us about the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's been down to the River Jordan, been baptized by John the Baptist, and now we're still in Mark 1. It's very early on in the story, and he's returning to Galilee, his home, and he's beginning to tell the people that he knows best that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near, and to believe in the good news. See, what Jesus is doing here is he's telling the people that the alarm is buzzing. The time's fulfilled, it's here, and God's long-awaited kingdom is right here. Now is not the time to roll over and hit the snooze button. Now is the time to get up and start moving around, to turn back to God and get in on this new thing that God's doing through Christ. Forget about the snooze button, he's saying. You don't want to miss this, because the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is near. Jesus lets the folks know that it's time to get up and respond to the good news that he was called to preach. Because this good news is big news. It's important, and you don't want to miss it. One of the ways that we know what Jesus is announcing is big news, and that it's new, and that we wouldn't want to miss it would be very obvious to us if we just spoke a little bit of Greek. Because in some ways, Greek is a much more precise language than English. When Jesus says the time is fulfilled, he uses a special Greek word for time. The time Jesus is talking about isn't ordinary time, because the Greek word for ordinary time is chronos. Chronos is where we get the word chronometer. It's a fancy word for a clock that keeps ordinary time. But in our text today, Jesus uses a special Greek word, kairos, that we translate as time, but in other places in the Bible it's translated as era, or epoch, or age. It's a special time. It's God's time. The time that Jesus is now declaring is fulfilled is special God's time. And God is up to something new and big during this time. And to get in on it, all we have to do is just turn back to God. This is the gospel. This is the literal good news that Jesus is preaching to the crowds that are gathering around him. This is the news that the kingdom of God is near in him. And that average, ordinary, everyday common people can get in on it. But you know, Jesus had a slightly different message for those select few that he was going to call to help spread this good news that God's bringing forth his kingdom. And our gospel lesson, and especially our first lesson today, are all about answering when God calls. And did you notice the way that in our Old Testament lesson, the way that Jonah answers that call, and the way that Andrew and Simon and James and John answer that call, those are completely different responses. Did you catch that? Jonah answered God's call in his life very reluctantly. Did you notice when Bonnie was reading that lesson, it starts out by saying, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Did you catch that? Well, the first time it came, Jonah wanted nothing to do with it. God called him to go to Nineveh and preach. The people in Nineveh needed saving. They needed to repent, because if they didn't, God was going to destroy the whole place. Well, Jonah didn't like Nineveh. He wasn't going to go there. And so his approach instead was to run when God called him to go to Nineveh the first time. He decided to take a little vacation, a little cruise to a city called Tarshish. Well, long story short is that when God calls, you can run, but you can't really hide. Jonah ends up in this huge storm in the middle of the ocean. He gets thrown overboard, ends up in the belly of a fish for 3 days. And it's only after he's upchucked by the fish onto dry land that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. And surprise, surprise, he's a little more open to it. He's a little more receptive the second go-round. So he goes to Nineveh. And he kind of preaches a half-hearted sermon. Oh, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. But wonder of wonders, the whole city, even the king, hears this message. They take it to heart and they repent. Everyone, great, small, king, peasant, it doesn't matter. Even the animals, they're putting on sackcloth and ashes. So God relents and Nineveh is spared. But Jonah is a most reluctant prophet when it comes to answering God's call. But when Jesus calls Simon and Andrew and James and John in our gospel lesson, it's a whole different story. And maybe the best way for us to think about that is to think about what it takes in our own lives to kind of drop what we're doing, just to get up and go. Well, I've known that, you know, sometimes that happens when someone we know, love, respect, arranges a secret vacation for us and they say, well, you just got to go now. And so you stop what you're doing and you go. And sometimes on a more serious note, that kind of thing happens when we get that phone call that someone that we love is gravely ill. And so we stop what we're doing. We'll figure out how to pay for it later. And we just get up and go to be with that person. The truth is, today usually takes some sort of a crisis for us to just drop what we're doing and take off. But did you notice that in this gospel lesson where Jesus is talking, he doesn't mention crisis anywhere. There's no dire consequences put out there as to what's going to happen if these two sets of brothers don't take up his invitation to learn how to fish for people. You know, usually we interpret this story about how compelling the call of Jesus is on the lives of his followers. How from the very beginning, folks just drop whatever they're doing to follow along after Jesus calls. Or sometimes we think about this lesson as a great illustration as to the tremendous faith of these earliest followers of Jesus, that even though they don't know exactly what Jesus is going to call them to do, what to expect from them, because of their great faith, they stop everything and follow along. But let me fill you in on a little secret. When God calls, it usually doesn't happen that way, that we just drop everything the first time he calls and follow. In fact, despite the way it looks in this story, that's not the way it happens, even in this story. Jesus just doesn't show up unannounced in the lives of his followers, either then or now, and say something mesmerizing where we drop what we're doing and follow him like zombies. That just doesn't happen. Talked about this a little bit in Sunday school today. It's more of a process than that. Despite the way it looks in this story, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, this isn't the first time they've seen Jesus. You know, if you remember back when we read from John chapter 1 a couple of weeks ago, when John is baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan, Andrew was the disciple of John the Baptist who followed after Jesus when John called him the Lamb of God. He spent time with Jesus then. For all we know, a couple of days. He introduced him to, Andrew introduced him to his brother Simon. And for all we know, he spent days with them, maybe even traveled back to Galilee with them. And then there's another story about meetings between James and John and Andrew and Simon. It takes place in Luke chapter 5. Jesus is teaching in Galilee. And he's walking along the seashore teaching people, and the crowd starts to gather. And it's a big crowd. It starts pressing in on him. So to get some space, Jesus wants to get into a boat and finish teaching from there. And guess who he talks to? Simon asks if he can borrow the boat. And when he's done with it, he pays him for his trouble with just a little instruction to put down his nets to get a big catch of fish. Well, Simon does that, and the catch is so big, he has to call his buddies, James and John, in to help them pull in this great catch of fish. And when it's all over, Simon says to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." It's pretty obvious that by that time even, Simon's not ready to follow Jesus. For that matter, neither is James or John. They're going to have to do a lot more growing before they're ready to follow along after Jesus. You know, I think Scripture gives us so many examples of these people that we think of today as spiritual redwoods, these spiritual giants. People like Jonah, Andrew, Simon, James, John. Might as well throw in people like Moses, Abraham, and Sarah. All these are common folks who had trouble hearing and responding to God's call on their lives when it first came. But you know, despite their flaws, despite their reluctance, God calls them anyway. They're going to help in bringing forth God's kingdom. And they end up being a blessing to literally billions of people. So here we are in the season of Epiphany. Kind of a strange word, Epiphany. It's also from the Greek, surprise, surprise. And it means appearance or manifestation. And one of the things that we think about during Epiphany is how we can make Jesus manifest or known to the world. Frankly, we do that through our service, by answering the call that God through Christ makes on our lives. And you know, like those earliest disciples, that call might come on multiple occasions. And we can expect that call to change as our faith matures and changes. So during the season of Epiphany, some good questions to be asking ourselves might be things like, how can I make Christ known through serving Him right now? Am I at a point maybe where my service can change because my faith is maturing? Will it look a little different? How am I going to respond when Jesus finally gets around to asking me to follow? What's my service going to look like? How can I help? You know, this goes so much deeper than Mountain of Faith, your church needs volunteers. That's not what this is about. It has so much more to do with participating with God in building His kingdom here on earth. It's about helping others find the grace and freedom God gives real followers of Jesus. It's about being a blessing to others. So now, no, this is not the time to roll over and hit the snooze button. This is the time for us to get up and to get moving and to be a blessing to others. The time is fulfilled. It's time for us to serve the Lord and bless others through that service. Amen.